stack of different messages. I was praying and begging God, Lord, what would you have me preach this morning? And especially if every church I'm at is always different, and the Lord always has a way of leading me in a direction. And for some odd reason, I could not get past this message this morning. And I hope and pray it will be a help to you. Revelation chapter 20. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning? I'm so grateful for each and every one of you that are here. You could be homesick today, amen. And our family, we've had COVID before. We know what it's all like and everything. And it shocks and amazes people when I tell them, even if you've been vaccinated, you still can get COVID. And so please be in much prayer for the brethren here at this church. And then also please pray for Brother Stamper's church. Because it's running rampant, and that's where I was supposed to be at this morning. So please pray for him, his family, and his church as well. Revelation chapter 20, look with me here in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now notice what the Bible says here in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Notice verse 4, and this is where we'll take our text. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Cry now or cry later. Let's pray together. Lord, I beg you this morning, Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God. Touch my feeble lips. Lord, I pray, dear God, may you fill my mouth with your words. And I pray, dear God, this morning, Lord, for every person that is here, challenge us from the Word of God. Lord, we are a hungry people. And dear God, we desire to feast upon the bread from heaven. And I pray, dear God, this morning, Lord, there be one amongst us that's lost. Lord, I pray, dear God, may you show them the need of a Savior. For, Lord, we know what the Word of God says, for today is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, for those who are saved this morning. God, I pray, may you break our hearts for the souls of men. Help us, dear Lord, to cry now, because later it'll be too late. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray, may you prepare the hearts of the people that right now, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. There are two judgments that are mentioned in the Word of God. There's the judgment seat of Christ. That is where you and I, those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior, we will be judged for what we've done for the sake of the gospel, what we've done with the Word of God, what we've done with the gospel. But here in our passage of Scripture we've read this morning, we see the great white throne judgment. Now, the great white throne judgment is for those who are lost. Those who are lost. Those who've never trusted Christ. They're from all around the world. They speak other languages. They may have a different color of skin. By the way, Christ died for all. Doesn't matter your skin color. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account. Doesn't matter what family you're from. And it doesn't really matter what you've done. Right. He died for all the sins of the world. Right. I want you to use your imagination with me this morning, if you would. The Bible describes it as the great white throne. That is the throne where Christ Himself will sit upon that throne. Who better to judge the world than the very one who died for the world? It will be Him. He will sit upon the throne. We already know that the lost will be there. But there's somebody else that will be there too. Those of us who trusted Christ. Now, we will not be judged but we will stand and watch. That's right. Brother Saunders, how do you know that? Because, see, in chapter 21, it says in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's the lost. But then here in chapter 21, in verse 4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That is referring to you and I. Could you imagine with me? We're all standing there. The Bible says that we're wearing robes of white. The Bible also describes in Ezekiel chapter 33, I believe it is. It describes you and I as the watchmen. And if we don't herald out that call, if we don't herald out the gospel, if we don't tell sinners that if they die without trusting Christ, they'll spend an eternity in hell. The Bible says if we don't warn them, that their blood will be applied upon our hands. Now, how many of you right now, you said, Brother Saunders, and I asked this in Sunday school, and I asked it for this reason, but many more have come for the morning service, so I'm going to ask it again. How many of you said, Brother Saunders, I have lost family members? Will you raise your hands? I've got lost neighbors, friends, okay, co-workers, classmates, all of us. You know exactly who they are. In your mind's eye, you can see exactly who they are. You know what they look like. You know where they live. See, it's one thing if we're all standing there. And one by one, the angel of God begins to call out the name. You hear the shackles of sin between their hands and their feet as they stand before God. Now listen, it doesn't matter to us. It's just Jose. He's from Colombia. I don't know who he is. And you hear those horrific words, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Angels cast in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. It doesn't so much affect us too much. But then all of a sudden, some name is called and you know exactly who it is. Yeah. It's that loved one that you hold so dear to your heart. Their name is called out. And as their name is called out, you hear those shackles once again. As the same time as you hear that angel calling their name out and you hear them walking before God Almighty, and you hear the shackles of sin, you also begin to hear something else. Drip, drip, drip. And you look down at your hands and it's their blood upon your hands. You know what? Red sticks out like a sore thumb when you're wearing white. And I wonder as they walk before God Almighty, if they look at you and point their finger and say, why didn't you tell me the gospel? You've known it all this time? You mean to tell me we're kin? And you never one time told me you was a Christian. Why didn't you invite me to church? I worked beside you on that machine. We've worked together all those years. You never one time gave me a track. I saw you at the grocery store. Why didn't you tell me the gospel then? Look at me. I'm bound for the flames of hell. And what are you going to do? Because see, come then, it's too late. You can't win them to the gospel. You can't win them with the gospel then. It's too late. You're going to hear God Almighty say those horrific words. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never know you. Angels cast in the lake of fire, which are prepared for the devil and his angels. You'll hear them scream out one last time. So the message is very simple this morning. It's either cry now or cry later. I say cry now for the souls of men. I say we make our lives count for something. Because listen, we only have but one life to live. One life to live. And our lifespan is very short. Being a pastor, I've seen people die. I also was a law enforcement chaplain for 10 years. And then I also worked for a funeral home for 6 years. I'm here to tell you, death is no respecter of person. Death does not care your age. It does not care your skin color. He does not care. And the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the what? The judgment. The judgment. Either we're going to cry now for the souls of men, or we're going to cry later. But later it'll be too late. It'll be too late. I say cry now.
Either you're going to cry now or you're going to cry later. I want you to see number one. I want you to see, first of all, the cry of the Christian. Look at me in Psalms 126. Psalms 126. Psalms 126. This is the cry of the Christian. Notice what the Bible says here in Psalms 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's what it says. They that reap in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, listen, I don't know how many... Anybody here got a lead foot? You like driving fast? Raise your hands. How many of y'all like fast cars? Okay. How many of y'all got a ticket on the way to church this morning? Let me tell y'all how I became a law enforcement chaplain. I got pulled over in my own church parking lot. Then I got a uniform and I still got to go fast. Amen? I like fast cars. How many of y'all are roller coaster fanatics? Y'all love going to a theme park. Raise your hands. Okay. Listen, I fell in love. And love will do some weird things to you. I grew up on a flat island. Flat. No heights, no mountains, flat. My wife, on the other hand, grew up in a family that loves roller coasters. You know, they go high. But I was in love. She calls me up one day, preacher. She says, look, my dad's got tickets to Six Flags Over Georgia. And if we don't ride anything, it'll be okay just as long as we get to spend time together. I told y'all I was in love. We got there. First thing we went and got on was acrophobia. She looked at me. She goes, are you okay? Uh-huh. I strapped myself in. You know, I was praying, Lord, come quickly. We start rising up. About halfway up, she says, you can open your eyes. I opened my eyes and went, ah! And by the way, I do scream like a girl. She hands me this coin. I said, what is this going to do? She says, just stare at the coin. Well, it took another half hour to go up to the top, amen. We finally get up there and all of a sudden the seat does like this and I'm looking at what I'm about to plunge my body into. And then, of course, when it drops, you only get to scream for half a second. Ah! Ah! You're done. And from there, I went on to everything. My family loves roller coasters, okay? I mean, listen, we're about as drilling junkies as you can get. How many of y'all hunt? Anybody, any hunters in here? Y'all like hunting, okay? Now listen, when you live 13 years in Montana, I've shot just about everything under the sun. I've shot antelope. I've got a mule deer on the wall right now. He's 27 inches across and 24 inches high. His neck, I'm not joking, is about that big. Okay? 200 pounds worth of meat. I shot elk. And when you put them in the back of the truck, it fills the whole truck. Okay? I've even shot a black bear. I think about David. You know, David killed Goliath. He killed a lion and he killed a bear. I only got to kill one of the three. It's one of the three. Amen? Okay? Listen, we love adrenaline. All of us do. Something gives us a rush. We like that feeling. But I'll tell you, in all the years I've been saved, there's something that gives me greater adrenaline, greater rush than anything else I've ever experienced. And that, my friend, is taking the Word of God and sitting down with a lost person that I've never met, who is so bound for the flames of hell. Sit down with them and begin to share with them that there's a God that loves them, who came to this earth and bled and died for their sins, died for them. And begin to share the good news with them and see them ask Christ in their heart. Well, I can't tell you how many times I've sat in my office when I was in Montana and I'd have different people in and it didn't matter their ages, amen, and hear them cry out to God, whether it's a little person or even an adult, and hear them cry out to God and ask Christ to come to their heart. My friend, I'm telling you, there's nothing greater than experiencing that. So if you're an adrenaline junkie, let's go find some lost people. Amen? That's the best thing to do. And who better to reach your loved ones than you? Say, Brother Saunders, I'm not a preacher. Who said you had to be a preacher? Who said you had to be a preacher? By the way, listen, oftentimes... If you were to say, Brother Saunders, you got to go and talk to my family member right now. If I showed up at the house, number one, they don't know who I am. I'm a stranger to them. Number two, I'm not family. You are. Who do they trust more? The stranger or the family member? They trust you. You say, but Brother Saunders, I don't know how to lead someone to Christ. Listen, watch this. You ready? If you want to see your pastor get the closest thing to turning Pentecostal, go over to your pastor after the service and say, Pastor, I beg you, will you please teach me how to lead people to Christ? I promise you, he'll get all happy in Jesus real quick. Why? Because we need more laborers. We need more messengers. Oh, by the way, the Great Commission wasn't given to us as pastors. It was given to the church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He gave it to the church. Let me help you with that. If you're a Yankee, it's you guys. Any Yankees here this morning? Okay. For all of us that are from the South, y'all. And if you're from North Carolina, Ewens. So you all understand what I'm saying. The Great Commission was given to all of us. And if we don't tell them the gospel, you know whose fault it is if they die and go to a devil's hell? It's ours. It's high time that we as independent Baptists start taking personal responsibility for this lost and dying world. You see why? Because when we take it personal, we'll do something about it. We'll do something about it. Yeah. It's our loved ones that are on the line. It's our countrymen. What happened to Romans chapter 10 and verse 1? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. That was Paul. Paul was a Jew. He came from the stock of Benjamin. He was proud to say that he was an Israelite. He was proud to say that he was a Jew. But yet he was a missionary to all. He had a burning desire to reach his own countrymen with the gospel. What about you this morning? Who is it that weighs heavy upon your heart? Open your Bibles now to Luke chapter 16. Not only do we see the cry of the Christian, but secondly, I want you to see this. There's the cry of the condemned. The cry of the condemned. While you're turning to Luke chapter 16, I also want to turn to another passage, and I'm going to read it to you. In John chapter 3, how many of y'all know John chapter 3 and verse 16? Let's quote it together, shall we? What does it say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, now let's quote John 3:18 together. Ready? Most people don't know John 3:18. Let me read it for you. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Hallelujah, that's me this morning. But he that believeth not, the Bible says, is condemned already. He's condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now in Luke chapter 16, look with me here in verse 23. We see the cry of the condemned. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 16. Oh, let's go ahead and read chapter and verse 19. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. I want you to understand this morning, listen here in verse 19, I want you to see that his fortune is consumed. The Bible says here in verse 19, there was a certain rich man. Can I tell you something? When he died and went to hell, he is no longer rich. He did not take one penny with him. It's gone. You might be here this morning, you say, Brother Saunders, I'm lost. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not taking one penny with you when you die. His focus is clear. Verse 23, the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Oftentimes this world they have in their mind that when you die you become this floating, mystical vapor. I'm sorry, that's not true. In fact, to be honest with you, those who die in Christ, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, the Bible says that they get a glorified body. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get mine. How many of y'all woke up and it was snap, crackle, and pop this morning? Amen? Okay? But can I tell you something? For the lost person, they also get a special body. And I know we got firefighters here at this church, but I'm here to tell you there ain't no amount of firefighters that can ever put out the flames of hell. I mean, living in Montana, some of the best firefighters in the world. We have five seasons. We have spring, we have summer, we have fire, fall, which only lasts for like a week, and then we have all winter. We have fires all the time. I'm here to tell you there's no amount of firefighters that can ever put out the flames of hell. His focus is clear. The Bible says he lifted his eyes. If he's got eyes, it means he's got a head, a skull. If he's got a skull, it means he's got a torso. And in hell, the rich man is still there today, and he's still screaming to the top of his lungs. He's in torments. His focus is clear. His fortune is consumed. He's never going to have it. His future is canceled. Buddy, listen, he was living life to the fullest. The Bible says he fared sumptuously every day. He wore purple and fine linen. His future is now canceled. You know what? So many young people, they think, you know what? I'll get saved when I get older. Later, it'll be too late. Adults, they think, well, hey, when I'm on my deathbed, I'll cry out to God and I'll get saved then. It'll be too late. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. His fire continues. Verse 24, the Bible says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water. Cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. That flame continues even to this day. His family's condemned. Notice here in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Listen, my friend, do you know what the very flames of hell, they're screaming to the top of their lungs. You know what they're screaming out this morning? Listen to me. Can you hear it? Hey, Christian! You that's still alive, please tell your family members the gospel. Please tell your co-workers the gospel. Please send out more missionaries to reach the world that they can tell my family members, we don't want them to come to this place. It's a horrible place. It's a horrible place. The cry of the Christian. The cry of the condemned. Last of all, the cry from Calvary. Look with me in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. The Bible says in Luke 23:33, it's the only place that is mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, it is the only place in the King James Bible that says when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. There they crucified Him. No other version of the Bible will you find that name called Calvary. Can I tell you something? Calvary is precious to me. Amen. For that is the place that my Lord went and died for me. That is the place where He bore my sins. And He bore the sins of the world. And He bore your sins there too. The entire time He was on that cross, I was on His mind. Boy, isn't it good to know that, hey, listen, salvation didn't cost us a thing. It cost God everything. It cost Him His very best. By the way, young people, listen to me when I say this. Nothing is free in life. Nothing's free in life. Salvation will be free to you, but it costs God everything. Matthew chapter 27, look with me here in verse 50. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent twain from top to bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks did rent. Verse 50, the Bible says, Jesus, when He cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So, Brother Sergeant, why in the world did you read verse 51? I'll tell you, in that day and time, in the temples, they had what's called the Holy of Holies. It was a curtain that separated man from God. The only individual that was allowed back there was the high priest. If he had sin in his life, God would strike him dead. So, Brother Saunders, if he died back there, how'd they get his body back out? He always went in with a rope tied to his ankle. And he had bells on the bottom of his robes. He'd have to go back there and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. If he had sinned his life, as I said, God would strike him dead. You know what they would do? They have to draw straws. Preacher, I'm glad I don't have to go behind that curtain anymore. You see why, Brother Saunders? Because I know what I am. I'm nothing more than a dirty, rotten sinner saved by the grace of God. See, when He tore that veil, that curtain, He ripped it in twain. You know what He was saying? Come one, come all, and see the face of God. You may be here this morning. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know what? You can trust Christ as your Savior today. Listen, God makes it open and clear and plain to every man. Why don't you come and trust Christ as your Savior today? He said, Brother Saunders, how old were you? I was 5 years old. I was five when I got saved. You said, Brother Saunders, that was really young. Yeah, that's what happens when you grow up in a pastor's home. You hear it all the time. My parents explained it to me very well. And on a Thursday night, my dad was preaching Hell Hot and Heaven Sweet. When my dad gave the altar, I walked down that altar. You know, it takes some guts walking down an old-fashioned altar with everybody staring at you. You know what? I can tell you this much. I've been around these people just long enough to know, and I'm the stranger here this morning, but every person here, you can tell there's a brotherly love. And you're here this morning, you're lost. I promise you, this place will rejoice like you've never seen if you were to trust Christ as your Savior today. But I do have a challenge for those of you who are saved. If you're going to cry now, or you're going to cry on that day of reckoning, I say cry now. Who is it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask Luke if you'll come to the piano. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask this question this morning. You've been so patient listening to me. I want to ask this question this morning. You raised your hand. You said, Brother Saunders, I got lost family members. You know who they are. You know where they live. I would say we're all concerned. We're all concerned about them. Concerned for their soul. How concerned are you really? Are you willing to come to an old-fashioned altar and bow the knee before an almighty God and cry their name out to the Lord and say, Lord, please. Oh God, will You give me the courage and the tenacity, Lord, that I will go and reach my family with the gospel. Lord, I don't want to see them die and go to a devil's hell. Lord, I want to cry now for the souls of men. And God, I'm begging You, break my heart for them. Lord, will You help me this morning? People are moving already. Why don't You move to the altar this morning? God's speaking to hearts.